I think Kobe's giving me the signal that I have to turn my mic on, that he cannot do that for me. So I am clearly notoriously bad at picking the end of songs, as you saw me start, stop, start, and finally I just sat down in front of Annabelle and just recognized my failure to figure out when that song was going to end. But we're so glad that you're here with us today. As a youth minister, I have to say this, like, I hope that you had a happy and safe 4th of July. From the Kittingers, we are now on a 4-year streak of not having to visit Arkansas Children's on the 4th of July. So we're hoping that next year we get to that 5-year mark. But with all that said, we are so glad that you're here today. If you would bow with me as we enter into this study this morning. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, we thank you for your Son. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here, whether online or in person, God, to spend time with you, to study your word, and to fellowship. So your Son that we pray, amen. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. So if you want to go ahead and get there on your devices or in your Bible or whatever you're using, we're going to be right at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, which is what the Hastings read. And Cole wanted me to point out that at the end of the video, Emily was yelling at their dog who was trying to run into their flower bed. So just to clarify, that's what was happening at the end of the video, but I loved it because it showed personality and like a family and just kind of like our, there'd be kids doing all kinds of stuff if we did that. But I love the idea of the Beatitudes for a lot of different reasons. I think that they're misunderstood a lot. I think that the Beatitudes are often viewed as something that is supposed to happen in the future. But I actually think what the Beatitudes really is a new way of living now. Now, if you're like our family, we try to find television shows that everyone can watch in our household. Preferably something that's not animated or a lot of singing, which is kind of where we're at right now. But for some reason, our children will sit down and watch Shark Tank. Now, if you've seen Shark Tank, it's a show where entrepreneurs come in and they pitch their ideas to investors. And I found this one guy who pitched an idea to investors a few years ago. It was a company by the name of Hungry Harvest. And we've got just a little clip showing what Hungry Harvest does, if Rob is ready with that.
Well, my name's Evan Lutz. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Hungry Harvest, and we sell ugly produce, is a good way to put it. And this is not food waste in the sense that it's stuff that's going into a landfill or compost. It's perfectly fresh food that just gets thrown away. We take that produce, we box it up in really nice variety boxes, and then deliver it to our subscribers once a week from Philadelphia down to Northern Virginia. We started at the University of Maryland, and then when we started Hungry Harvest, we started knocking on doors in Tacoma Park, and we moved around the block to Bethesda and the Potomac to Gaithersburg, up and around the Beltway to D.C., moved into Virginia, then up to Baltimore, and then to Philadelphia, and we're looking to expand to further cities by the end of next year. I think it's every entrepreneur's dream to be on Shark Tank, and we actually got reached out to by Shark Tank in February of 2015, who wanted us to apply, and in June 2015, we officially got accepted and they flew us out there. It really, when it was aired in January, it really boosted our business. We had 500 active subscribers at the time it aired. Overnight, we gained like 1,300 people that just signed up on our website that like within the next 24 hours. So it really boosted our business and helped us get to where we are today. When Shark Tank aired, we had like 4 full-time employees. Now we have a team of 12 and we have 50 plus independent contractors actually go and make our deliveries. We source all fresh food from farms and wholesalers and suppliers before it ever reaches a grocery store. Hunger is kind of hidden in America. People, when you say the hungry, what comes to mind is panhandlers on the street or homeless, but it's actually 50 million people that aren't all homeless, but people that are low income, that are living in communities and in our very own neighborhoods that just can't afford to have fresh food from the grocery store and really are living on $20 a week to buy fresh groceries. We believe in a business model that's sustainable and scalable, and we've been able to get our costs really, really low so that we can still make a good margin on selling our products at a low price, and we want mass adoption for our products.
Now, I love that video for a lot of different reasons, but I think what captivated me when I was watching that video was taking something that is kind of old, or maybe you're used to, and doing something new with it. Now, you've probably seen companies like this. There have been a few that have started up recently. But I love the idea of Hungry Harvest taking food that's been rejected because of the appearance, or maybe they've found too much or whatever, and making sure that people who need it get it. It's this idea that it's a new way to do something that we've been doing for a very, very long time. And that same sentiment is what I'm hoping to do this morning by re-examining the way that we look at the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes, in the same way, is something that we're all familiar with. We almost probably can say it from heart at times, but the idea is that it's something that we're very familiar with, but something that we need to look at in a new way. So to start, we'll start with the first verse in chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach. And we'll pause right there because we need to frame what Jesus is doing. Jesus is teaching in the same way that his Jewish audience would have understood a teacher giving an amazing, powerful message. Actually, the Sermon on the Mount is framed very similar to that of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we've got that one too, where Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today, them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb." It's this idea that a teacher is teaching people a new way. Now, I think the Beatitudes are very similar to that of the Ten Commandments, in that, yes, they are blessings, but what they really are teaching moments. Like these lessons that we need to learn how to become better people. Jesus is actually saying, if you want to learn about a new way, then you need to listen to what I'm saying here at the Sermon on the Mount. And so the Beatitudes begin in the next verse, here we go, verse 3. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they are filled." Next one. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be treated because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now Jesus says these things, and this is kind of where I'm talking about. We've heard these. These are all familiar phrases, familiar blessings. But to kind of fully understand it, we have to break down what Jesus is doing. So in the next slide, we have the Greek term here, which is makaros. Now what that means is blessing. Means kind of to find favor into somebody of a higher position. So kind of that's what blessing means. But the other way to interpret this word is to apply the notion of happy or happiness. I believe that is what Jesus is really getting at when he's delivering the Beatitudes. He's saying, if you want to learn how to be happy, follow these teachings. If you want to experience a happiness that you've never experienced before, learn these Beatitudes, learn these teachings. And it's a different way of looking at this. Poet W.B. Yeats said this, "Happiness is not virtue, nor pleasure, nor this thing, nor that, but simply growth. We are happy when we are growing." Now, hopefully you're following along with what I'm trying to do here, because I don't think the blessings that we see in the Beatitudes are things that are supposed to be distant things that we receive. I think the Beatitudes are actually like a present progression of the human experience. What Jesus is challenging his listeners to do is to absorb them, to become like them. He's seeing happiness in a way that is different than we often understand happiness. Whereas we see happiness often as our current state of being. Like, for example, if I'm eating just the best cheeseburger on the planet, I'm happy. I should have said family. Probably should have said, well, I'm spending time with my family, that we have this feeling of happiness. I sometimes forget that we are recording this. But definitely family. When I edit this, it's going to say family. But the idea there is that we understand happiness in that of an emotional state. But I think happiness is, as W.B. Yeats says, it's when we are growing. It's when we are becoming somebody new, somebody better. And so when we revisit Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it takes on a new meaning. It's not simply about receiving, it's about becoming. It's not just simply hearing something, but it's experiencing and doing, and as W.B. Yeats said, and growing. And when we do those things, we become more of who God created us to be. And so when we see this verse here, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He's doing more than just saying words. He's showing them how to experience a happiness that they've never experienced before, that goes beyond experience, that goes beyond maybe what we feel on the inside at times. What Jesus is really saying is, if you want to see how to live, if you want to experience this life, then you need to start living like me. Now, if you walk through the Beatitudes, and we will just revisit them really quickly, if Rob, if we could go back to that verse 3 of Matthew chapter 5. My bad, there we go. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." If we were to go through all of the characteristics, they would all lead us back to Jesus. Every one of the Beatitudes reflect a personal characteristic of who Jesus was and how he lived. And again, I mentioned this a second ago, that we often look at these blessings as something that's far away. But what Jesus is really saying is, these are things that you should be doing in your everyday life. We should be there for the people that are poor in spirit. We should be there with people that are mourning. We should be there with the meek. We should be there for people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is not a call of waiting on something, but it is a call of changing who we are now. Paul reflects these words too. When Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to another an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God." And we'll stay there for just a minute because I want to unpack what Paul's saying, because it directly connects to the Beatitudes. Again, if we are to understand what Jesus is saying, that the Beatitudes are a new way of living, a new characteristics that we need to be transformed by, if we do those things, we begin to look like Christ. And Paul identifies that looking like Christ as having the aroma of Christ. And we don't use the phrase a lot, that "I want to smell like somebody else." That's a strange phrase. That's not something that we say a lot. If anything, especially in my household with two small kids, like, smells concern us. You know, you're like, where is that coming from? Why do you smell like that? Like, those are things that we say. And so we don't often use that terminology of smelling like somebody to be a positive. But what Paul is saying is that if you are following the teachings of Jesus, if you are consumed in them, if your identity is within the teachings of Jesus, in the actions that we see in the Beatitudes, that your presence, your aroma will begin to reflect Jesus. When people see you, they see Jesus. Another thing that Paul says that I think is so profound and plays into the notion that the Beatitudes are to be lived now rather than later is when Paul talks about salvation. He says, "For we to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Often salvation is this thing that we think is in the future and in the distance, something that we've got to wait on. But what Paul is saying is, your salvation begins when you accept Jesus. You are new. You are saved. You begin a new life, a new meaning, a new purpose, the second that you say, "Jesus, I'm in." And here at our church, when you take on the water and baptism, that is when your salvation begins. It's not something that you have to wait on. It's something that begins when you take that step. And so there's this idea here that is developing within the Beatitudes that is not something that we wait for. It is something that we work on in the present. Dr. Derwin Gray wrote this in his book, The Good Life. He says, "The Beatitudes are a description of how God's kingdom enters man's realm and transforms it. The Beatitudes are a picture of what God's people under his rule and reign of grace live like on earth. They are the ethos of heaven invading earth. And I love this phrase here. It's like God's people bring the currency of heaven and spend it on earth, enriching everyone's life. I love the way that Dr. Gray writes about the Beatitudes here, because it's this idea that it is something that we are becoming in order to be fully happy, a happiness that the world doesn't see, because so much of our happiness is based on how we feel in our current state of being. But happiness in the sense of the Beatitudes and the teachings of Jesus is something that changes us and transforms us into a new people with a new identity and a new purpose. And when we live that fuller life, we experience happiness. A happiness that is divine and not of this earth. It is something that is different and unique. So how do we do that? How do we live into the Beatitudes? This has been a constant conversation in our house right now. I'd be remiss if I got up here and Bert mentioned the COVID-19 crisis right now, the pandemic that our country is living in. But it's not just the pandemic that we're in. We are facing systematic poverty, systematic racism. We are facing so many different things right now in our country. And Whitney and I, as parents of two young children, are constantly asking, what is our role here? What do we do in this country, in this situation that we find ourselves in? And one of the things that, and I'll give Jennifer a shout out, one of the things that Jennifer did a few weeks ago was she was trying to collect children's resources for kids to talk about diversity. That is something that we can do, like Whitney and myself, that's something that we can do on our home level, is teach our children about differences. We can teach our younger kids how to understand these things. And I love that Jennifer did that, and there was a collection of people in our children's ministry that chimed in and said, hey, I've heard about this book, I've heard about this resource. Those are things that we can do as people of God to live into the Beatitudes. The other thing that I think we can do, I've got to tell a story that's been one of my favorite stories that I've heard in a long time. It's the story of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Now, if you're familiar with these two, they had a weird kind of relationship. Frederick Douglass tried to visit the White House in 1863, and upon arriving to the White House, there's a group of people trying to meet with President Lincoln. And so Frederick Douglass walked up, he gave him his business card and said, I'd like to meet with the president. And everyone around said, the president's not going to meet with you. And what happened was, 2 minutes later, the president sent word that he wanted to meet with Frederick Douglass. And he met with Frederick Douglass two other times before his second inauguration in 1865. At his second inauguration, Frederick Douglass attended the inauguration but wanted to go to the reception. When he attempted to go into the reception, two police officers of the White House rejected Frederick Douglass. They said, you're not welcome here, we're not gonna let you in. When President Lincoln heard that the police officers were rejecting Frederick Douglass, he sent word and personally invited Frederick Douglass into the White House. Now, I love that story for a lot of different reasons. Those two disagreed on some things, and President Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, they fought it out. They talked about differences. Frederick Douglass tried to teach and inform President Lincoln about what was going on in his community and his world. But the thing that I love the most about that is what happened in 1865, about how President Lincoln used his position to empower another person. He made sure that Frederick Douglass was welcomed into there. Now, he used his position as the president to do that. But I think that's a lesson that we can all learn right now. We can use our positions to empower our neighbors. We can be kind, we can learn, we can listen. And there are things that we can do where we are, and it's different for each one of us. But we can use our positions to empower others. And so what I want to do to end this morning is to, again, revisit the Beatitudes. And as we leave this morning, what I hope that we do is we look at the Beatitudes in a new way. We don't look at it as something that we have to wait on, that it's a blessing that's down the road, but rather I hope that we see the Beatitudes as something that we are to become right now, something that we should work on, embody, try to live out every day in order that we absorb the aroma of Christ, that when people look at us, they see Jesus. When we walk past them, they're like, I think I smell Jesus walk by. That is what we should be doing right now in the world that we live in. So again, let's visit the Beatitudes. After that, we'll have a song, and then I'll pray and close us out. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. From the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.